Please stand as you're able. We're going to start back here this morning. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy in mercy, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean. Quench our thirst and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. If you'll read the front prompt up there.
Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to the resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all.
Satisfy the world's need through this living water, where drought dries the earth. Bring refreshment, where despair prevails. Grant hope, where chaos reigns. Bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you in the Spirit reigns forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace of God's people on earth. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Acts. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brother. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 68 responsively with me. Let God rise up, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him.
As smoke is driven away,
so the
way.
As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God.
But let the righteous be joyful, let them exult before God, let them be jubilant with joy.
Thank you.
Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. The second reading is from 1 Peter, the 4th and 5th chapter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I gave unto them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, and that you have in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. As we go through these weeks after Easter and before Pentecost, even during Holy Week, we've heard Vicar Sean and Pastor Rich tell the stories of Jesus and his journeys. We've all heard them many times and in many different ways. The first part I want to talk about is something that Sean touched on a week or two ago, and it stuck with me. And it continues to stick with me throughout these weeks, and that's why I decided to start with this. And that is, Jesus, knowing he is going to be betrayed, denied, imprisoned, tortured, and hanged at the cross to die, yet he continues to prophesy and do his Father's deeds without fail. I don't know about you all, but for me, adios. I think that on that 40-day journey that he took, if it was me, I'd find some place deep in that wilderness to hide, even though I know that good Lord would probably find me anyway, or sometime before then. I'd either have taken the bribe that he was offered or somewhere to keep from getting tortured. Knowing that's on my shoulders would probably be enough, but that's today, that wasn't then. Or what if one of us were told that we had to take our oldest son or daughter, those of you that don't have sons and don't have daughters, you're not getting off that easy, and they were to be sacrificed at a later time, but you don't know when. I couldn't do that. I don't know about y'all, but I've got a son and a daughter both, so either one. I couldn't do that to either one. I'd have to give my own life over my child's life. It'd be very hard for me if God was to speak to me in a way that no matter how he came to me, a lot of people don't even know that he's speaking to you. I mean, if he came right down in front of my face and told me that, or, you know, smacked me upside the back of the head, you know, no matter how he got to me and told me this, I still don't think I could listen. It'd be too hard. That kind of a commandment, that's just tough. Even then, there'd be so many questions. The whats, the whens, and everything else that would go through my mind just to try to justify such a thing. But back in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham talks about that very same thing. He was to sacrifice his son, Isaiah, but couldn't tell him until the time came. It had to be hard on him to have this wavering on his mind. Yet, he had to go about the days as if nothing was going on, and without knowing what the future held for Abraham, the time had finally come. When all was prepared for the sacrifice, last second, God stopped Abraham from the sacrifice. And God told him that because he was willing to honor God's word, he was forgiving and his son was saved from that sacrifice. Now, without knowing the future, would any of us be willing to go that far to see if God would stop after he told us to do it? I don't know if I could take that chance. Jesus knew what had to happen and took the punishment, the sacrifice, and he died for our sins so that we may live through him and be glorified by his holy name. God brought himself into the flesh as his son to earth to teach, prophesy, show unconditional love, suffer, and sacrifice, for God is all-powerful and mighty and should be feared. Even today, Jesus still suffers every time one of us is in suffering or in pain.
So his journey has not ended yet. His works is now our works. His suffering is now our suffering, and his pain is now our pain. That is the price for being a Christian, and that started over 2,000 years ago, and it continues still today. Even though for us it's easier to tell someone we're a Christian and be proud of it, there are still parts of the world that have you killed if you so far as mention the word Christian. Take Tanzania. That word's been spread around a lot here lately because of all the good works they've been doing. But people there are being killed all the time because of it. Yet their Christian population is growing like wildfire. Suffering. We heard that in the gospel reading and in the other readings. We hear it all the time. Everybody suffers. I suffer. We all suffer from something. But there's a deeper suffering here. Most of you know, almost 6 months ago, I lost my mother. When my dad passed away, it was hard, but it's nothing like when you lose your mother. This is probably the first time I really opened up to talk about this, but anyway, I'm still suffering from her leaving. My brothers are too, but I think it's harder on me because my wife and I took her in, cared for her last week or so after she got out of the hospital until she passed away. Listening to her struggle, hearing her gasps for air, trying to listen to her move while her body was aching and hurting, I know she was in pain, and there was nothing that I could do. And I hate it when I can't fix things, because that's my job after all. As the oldest son, a father, grandfather, a friend, I've been around, learned a lot. I fix things and build things. I suffer deep inside right now because I have things going on with my family that I can't fix, and it tears me up. Someday I will get answers to the whys of all my questions, but for now, I'm going through the, yes, God, I'm mad at you. Why would you? How could you? Why didn't I? Why didn't you help me? How come my mind wasn't fast enough kinds of things? And these readings have helped me in the way that I know my redemption comes through that suffering. Specifically, the suffering of Christ. The only way to glory is through the cross. We need to remember that the suffering of Jesus isn't just an object lesson, but the very means of our salvation. With suffering, it can be easy. If you're listening to someone, like you just heard me, or if you're reading a book, you can close that book, or you can close your eyes and take a nap, or you can walk out of the room, go do something else. You know, there's all kinds of excuses to avoid that suffer story, unless it's your own story. Then it hits like home. There's no other feeling in the world like it. Suffering is the way of a broken world. And the promise that we will suffer is perhaps the hardest promise of all scriptures. But the suffering is not in itself redemptive. Suffering might be the result of a direct action, but it is ultimately the result of a curse. But God has made sense of our suffering, and there's no shortcut or easy way out of it. It's only through our suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus that any of our temporary suffering can make sense. With suffering, you have love and support from family, friends, community, and prayer. And it's always prayer. Along with suffering is, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, which was in 1 Peter. Now, with that, would anyone here Read that exact verse to someone new in the church. If you see someone walking in, would you read that to someone new to the church? I mean, if they're wanting to be a Christian or wanting to learn more about that, is that something that you would read to someone? Well, the focus of this verse is encouragement, not the fires and brimstone or anything else like that, or the tests that you got to go through or endure. But how do we know it's encouragement unless we were told? Imagine being new and hearing, "Beloved." First you're thinking, "Oh, that's nice." Then the fiery ordeal taking place to test you. Oh my God, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to be tested by a fiery ordeal. Yet, if you think about it, fire is, what's it used for? To purify gold. Some tests do precisely that. They test resolve. Pop quizzes are a part of our life's journey, so we shouldn't be surprised when tests or pop quizzes come along. That's easy to say, though, isn't it? But here's the thing. We shouldn't treat the difficult or hard times as a shock or be foreign to us. We all know in due time something is eventually going to happen. That's just part of life. Reversals are part of being Christian in facing death. Jesus brought life. In suffering for the sake of Christ, we share in his glory. And for that, we give God thanks, and we experience a glory which comes from God alone. As we humble ourselves, we make room for God to be at work in our lives. As we experience anxiety, we take our cares to God. As we die, we too shall live again. Reversals shape our lives as Christians. It takes discipline to keep alert and steadfast in faith. Be prepared to comfort others who face suffering and challenges. Be sure to remind them that the fiery ordeals are part of the journey of faith. And remember that God is with us to help us through these journeys. After all, we suffered for a short time here on earth. The grace of God will call us to his eternal glory in Christ. So I was reading a story about a young pastor who did just this. He would start his Bible studies with new members and people interested in joining the church. And his study would start with, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place." He didn't do this to scare people away, but to help explain what it meant and why we suffer. He would compare this passage to when being a child, as we had when we was growing up and had to go to school, which I thought was pretty ingenious. We learned, we made mistakes, we took tests, quizzes, and even had huge reports. We suffered through school with all these tasks and must-dos before we were done. But at the end, we were glorified by a piece of paper or a document saying, "Congratulations on your journey in school. The time has now come for you to leave this place and move forward. Thank you," or something like that. And that would be our ticket to what thought was our freedom to live life and have fun, not thinking what was in our future. In life we suffer, then we are given the grace to be with God that would be our diploma from life. After reading this pastor explain this, I was thinking, yeah, I can think, I was waiting for Mike to say something, because after I said it, I can think, and I didn't think that he was going to, I thought he was going to say something. That's a great comparison, except from school, you don't know your future. But in life, as a Christian, we know our future. When we die, we know where we're going. We're going to the eternal kingdom of God. That's the only difference. Superman, he had his superpowers. Popeye had his spinach. Spider-Man had that bite that made him all spidery, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it. But we too have superpowers along with all that. Those are support, encouragement from a community, and most of all, we have our faith. With these, there's nothing we cannot work through or overcome with the triune God. With all this from St. Peter, which is a very knowledgeable scripture, I thought. It helped me through a bunch here recently. I have a couple of questions for you to ponder with for a couple of minutes. First of all, who has encouraged you to keep your faith in the past? And number two, who do you know who needs words of encouragement? And what is the best way to encourage that person? Now, as you're thinking about that for a minute, this week, I had asked you all to do something and think about it. Encourage someone who might be struggling to remain steadfast in Christ. And with that, I say, Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Our Lord Jesus healed many as a sign of the reign of God. Come near and sent the disciples to continue this work of healing with prayer, the laying on of hands, and anointing. In the name of Christ, the great healer and reconciler of the world, we now entrust to God all who are in need of healing. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Jesus Christ, and especially for all who are suffering or are in any affliction. Help all those who suffer any pain or grief, hopelessness or anxiety, in your great mercy.
Hear us, O God. Hear us, O God. Mighty God, mercifully grant strength to the weak and comfort to those who suffer, that their sickness and pain may be turned into health. We especially lift up in prayer Sue, Karen, Janet, Joy, Stephanie, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, and those we name aloud or in the silence of our heart, in your great mercy.
Hear us, O God. God of peace and reconciliation, bring an end to the sickness of the world, especially violence, terrorism, war, and their causes. In your great mercy.
Holy God, Holy One, your Son prayed that your people may be one. May the gift of baptism be a power of healing the church broken. Healing the church's brokenness, and bless all efforts for renewal and Christian unity. In your great mercy.
Loving God, mend broken relationships and bring peace to our families, our congregations, this community, and the world. In your great mercy.
Eternal God, we thank you for all the faithful departed. Heal the pain of all who grieve in your great mercy.
O God, we bring these intercessions before you, knowing that you will hear us as you have promised and will answer according to the mercy shown in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Sisters and brothers, at this time, I ask you to be seated. And I invite you to come forward if you desire and receive a sign of healing and wholeness in the name of the Triune God.
Christ our Lord.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. There it is.
By the word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word and life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love, for your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you for the word of life, O God.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
For a couple minutes. At this time, we're doing the announcements. Right now we have need of helping hands as every week. So if you want to look on the new board or the bulletin board, or if there's anything on the table, please see what is in need and please sign up for something if you're able to. We'd greatly appreciate it. Grief Share Spring Session continues at St. Paul United Methodist Church down on Cherry Street. It goes till June, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, the second week in June.
Second week in June. So if you have any questions, feel free to call Mary at the church, or you can get a hold of Kathy. Or you can even call the office over there. Next, as we all know, Sean's going to be out of the office starting this last Thursday, and he won't be back until after the 1st of June. He graduated yesterday from seminary, so now starts the process of us doing our thing to see if we even want to accept him as a pastor or not. I don't know, it's been questionable a couple of times, so I don't know.
When he comes back, would it be appropriate for everyone to stand up and clap?
Sure would.
Okay, I'll start us off.
But during this time that he's gone, if there's any emergencies or any pastoral care, feel free to call the office, or you can call my cell phone. Most everybody should have my number. And I'll do what I can, or I will get with Pastor Rich if it's a dire emergency or something like that. We have an evangelical team that can reach out, or if I can provide any assistance, I will do that on my own time if possible. Also, I would like to have everybody that was involved in yesterday's Spring Safety Day please stand up for a moment. This is just a few of many people that was involved yesterday. And it was a huge success, I think, to the vendors and the community abroad. They all asked if it was going to happen again next year. I said, probably will, as successful as it was. I'm not 100% sure, and I'm sure Melanie's got something to add.
I do. I just want to thank all of you guys for all your support, no matter if it was, you thought it was small, a contribution financially, if you showed up in person, all your long hours of hard work. We couldn't have done this without you. We had so many positive feedbacks from the nonprofits and the fire department, even the gentleman at the fire department from Iberia. He said, even if we help one child, that means all of it is worth it. And we help a lot of children. And what did you think of it yesterday when you guys came? With the girls and stuff. Girls, do you like it? Yeah. So it was just, I thought it was great. I had a lot of positive comments, but really, I just sincerely appreciate everyone's efforts and just very proud of us as a community of our congregation, and we were able to help people. So I thank you. And if we could get a picture of all of the volunteers, even if you don't have your shirts on after the service, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. It's been. We've been on this, what, 4 months?
Yeah, I got put on the grant in September, but January we started having the process.
Yeah, so you figure about four and a half months, and that she's been involved in this, doing this, and maybe all of us combined might have a month's worth of dedication to it, so that shows you how much she's been involved in this. If we was to put all of our hours together. So, and with that, I started counting, tried to start counting somewhat where I could, and after I got over 100 people, not including the vendors and the volunteers and stuff, after I got over 100 people, I started losing count. Things got too busy, so I gave up, and this was by about 2:15, and we really didn't stop to what, 3:30, 4 o'clock when people stopped coming. So we know we discussed it, and we know we had at least 175 to 200 people. So we know it was at least that good. And so for something that was brand new and inauguration type of spring day, this was huge. So I think it's going to be a future event, and we hope to get more involved in it. So,
we went on Facebook Live. We shared my Planet 14, and she was like, "Oh, this is great. I wish we had known about this earlier." But she shared it on their site. Like, how many people did they help?
7,000
people shared on their site. So, the word is out. There's a lot of, we touched a lot of community. I mean, across the county, we had people from Lexington that came. We had, I saw from Crawford. There's people from all over, not just Galleon, that were here.
Right. Yeah, him and Beth was wrestling the little canopy over our booth all day long, and Beth did a better job than Mike did. He kept kicking the table and the canopy, and Beth trying to hold it down, and so it was a good, fun day. So hopefully next week. And lastly, I want to thank Dennis for donating the radios for us. If it wouldn't have been for him, nobody would have got a kick out of me taking off running from the social hall downstairs to out front when somebody said, security needed out front, the coordinator needs help. Yes. And here they said something about handcuffs or something, and I didn't hear any of that because it was spotty, so him and Brian's handcuffed each other, and they're sitting back at a table in the back parking lot just laughing at me as I'm shooting by, and Mel looks at me and says, who's handcuffing who to what? So it was a good day. So all in all, everybody had fun.
I got one thing. I'm sorry, we were laughing, but if you don't laugh about this.
Well, it was surprising because we had two or three different police departments out there, you know, so, and we had a couple of dogs, so we should have had everything covered, so I figured it had to be something internally, and
I've never seen that man do that.
So I figured it had to be something important, so I went walking around there, and I wasn't going to let, you know, grass grow under my feet, so, but evidently it was a joke on Mr. George and Brian, so it was all fun, though. So, last but not least, our noisy offering this week and next week. We are not putting it towards the capital improvement. What we are doing is we're going to take up a collection, and the week that Sean is back, we're going to put all that money into a box and give it to him as a graduation present. Instead of getting him something or a gift card or whatever, he's just going to have a box full of cash. So if you have change, that's fine. Ron agreed to take all coins up to Gouding Building alone, and he's going to exchange it for cash and then bring it back, and that's how we're going to do that for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I
should
keep those coins.
If you mark it for Sean's graduation. Yeah. And that way the tellers will know where to put that money aside for. So, well, that's up to y'all. If you want to make him carry a heavy box with change too, that's fine too. Ron, that'll save you some trouble of having to take money up there then. Okay. All right. So during the sending him, we will pass these out. I'm going to give you one, her one. Okay, just go ahead and sit down. All right. And that's all the announcements. Anybody else have anything for the good of the order before we send everybody out? And off. No? All right. Stand as you're able. Yeah, during the sending hymn, we'll pass it around. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.